which was the 8th of December, where there was some surprise news that Russia's released Brittany Griner in exchange for Viktor Bout. So Brittany Griner is a 6'8" basketball player, and she was playing for some basketball club in Moscow. She arrived there this February, and she had some prescribed cannabis oil in her luggage. But the prescription has no legal validity in Russia, so she was charged with drug smuggling, even though this was medicinal. So really, Putin just wanted to use her as a bargaining chip. And so she pleaded guilty. The maximum sentence is 10 years. Rather than getting a substantial reduction, she was sentenced to 9 years. And they simply wanted to be able to exchange her for someone. So that's her. And probably doesn't help her case in Russia that she's an out lesbian. She's married to a woman who's in the United States. So I do very, very, very sorry for Brittany Griner, who really hadn't done any harm. But it is true what she did was against the law in Russia. But she done this through inadvertence. But ignorantia lex not excusat. So that's a well-known brocard, which I'm sure you'll recognise. Whereas Viktor Bout, he's 55 years old. He was born in Dushanbe, Tajikistan. He's ethnically Russian, I think. But anyway, he was a Soviet citizen. He was in their military intelligence because they say he's a languages whiz, has acquired absolute mastery of half a dozen languages. Served with the Soviet forces in various African countries in the 80s because he was fluent in Portuguese, working there in Angola and Mozambique. Anyway, when the Soviet Union broke up, he saw an opportunity. He purchased some Antonov transport planes. Where he got the $120,000 to do this, we don't know. That was a staggering sum of money in Russia at the time, and was able to fly them around full of weapons because, you know, the Russian Federation was falling apart. You could buy anything. Generals sometimes themselves weren't paid, and they'd sell you armaments, and he'd sell them to various insurgent groups, governments, and organizations that were internationally listed as terrorist organizations. So he's doing that all through the 90s into the noughties. There's a rumor he had dealings with Al-Qaeda. I'm not quite sure if that's true. So US intelligence, or the CIA, became aware of him from quite an early stage. Anyway, so then he was in Thailand in about 2008, and then he was approached as part of a sting operation. Could he supply weapons to whoever? And he said yes. He was arrested by the Thai police, eventually extradited to the United States, where he was awarded a 25-year sentence. So he's been in custody for 14 years. I don't know if the 2 years he spent in Thailand counts as part of that 25 years. But 14 years out of a 25-year sentence is significant punishment. He was found guilty of conspiring to kill American citizens. So, I mean, he really was completely unprincipled. He didn't care about the cause. They say that he would arm both sides in the same conflict. It's just really anything that makes money. Russia claims his arrest was absolutely illegal. How on earth can the Thai police arresting anyone in Thailand be illegal? What they're saying is absolute nonsense. He was set free. But this tells you what Putin's like. Putin says, oh, he's anti-terrorist. Any human rights organization, thing like that, they're terrorists. According to him, journalists are terrorists, as he would say. But actually, someone who really funds terrorist organizations like Viktor Bout does, Putin wants him out of prison and back in Russia. Now, some have been saying this is actually perilous for Ukraine because Viktor Bout is so clever at moving illegal weapons around the world, he'll be able to get them in to Russia. But I don't think that's the case. I mean, he's been out of the game for 14 years. He's lost his contacts. I don't think something he can do that the Russian state can't. He was doing these things with the connivance of the Russian government. I don't think he did anything. Did he help enemies of Russia at all? So Brittany Griner has been sent home. They're exchanged via the United Arab Emirates. It's a good news for Brittany Griner. I did feel terribly sorry for her, but is it a mistake? Because they're someone who's really harmless, like Brittany Griner, she's been released, which is good, but in exchange for someone who was very dangerous, has committed very grave offences against law and morality. And surely we can't make this sort of crime pay, because it incentivizes Russia to arrest another innocent American in order to get one of their evil people out, some real villain. People talk about Michael Whelan, this Irish, British, American, Canadian citizen who's been incarcerated in Russia for a few years, having been convicted of espionage. Now, he was rather naive. He was foolish enough to contact lots of ex-Russian military people wanting to make friends with them. and the Russians decided that this was spying. So he's been awarded a very long sentence. I do feel rather sorry for this ex-military man, ex-police officer. Could he be released? No, he hasn't. Now, I mean, even if he was a spy, he was obviously a very bad one, a very blatant one, and nobody thinks he got any worthwhile intelligence. So really, they're just using him as a pawn, anyone they could possibly exchange for one of their villains in the United States. And they might do it to other Westerners as well. And I do know some Occidentals are still in Russia. And I think, get out. You're completely innocent. You could be arrested anyway. And they just use it as a hostage, effectively. So I wonder, is this weakness on the part of Biden for agreeing to this? Is it because he's so compassionate towards Brittany Griner and her spouse? Well, there are other things to take into account. Is this the first sign of rapprochement? Biden said the other day that he'd be willing to meet Putin. Putin really wants to talk about peace. And so this is a confidence-building measure. From this, can we do more? Can there be more exchanges, stuff like that? But what does Putin want? Okay, Putin wants the whole of Ukraine. If he can't get it, can he get a bit of Ukraine? Can he get a promise that Ukraine will never join NATO or the European Union? Could Eastern Ukraine have some sort of ambiguous status, not part of Russia, not part of Ukraine, something like that? If you won't de facto recognize Crimea, they're never going to recognize it de jure. Could you agree that the Russian Black Sea Fleet can stay in Sevastopol for another 25 years or whatever it is? There are all sorts of concessions, less than everything Putin wants, less than his maximalist demands. Now, why is Putin even talking about this? I suppose because the war is going badly for him. They're not making progress, they've been pushed back, admittedly very slowly, partly because it's winter. The economy has suffered significantly, but Western economies have suffered too. Obviously, Western solidarity is fraying. The resolve is dipping. I mean, not too much, not disastrous levels, but if it carries on at this level, in a year or two, it'll be finished. But how much damage will be done to Russia? Will Russia be defeated in that time? So, I mean, the Ukrainians are certainly willing to fight. It's a question of, are Occidental countries willing to fund them and willing to impose these strict sanctions? And the other thing is this oil price cap, which has just kicked in. Is it going to succeed or not? Russia's vowed to never sell to countries which impose the oil price cap, but will they actually stick to that? Because that'll be not selling to about 35 countries. Now, some of like the United States and the United Kingdom buy almost no Russian oil anyway. But if it does work, it'll shrink the Russian economy appreciably and make it even harder to fund this illegal war of aggression. But if it does not work, then Western countries are going to start buying oil at a higher price. It'll be a fillip to Russian morale and they'll get more money. And it might cause bickering amongst Western countries. So we've yet to see how it's going to play out. If oil from Russia is going to be sold above $60 a barrel, it won't be insured, for example. And Russia's been buying oil tankers, going to move them around the world. They're not allowed through Turkish waters, which is vital to get out through the Bosphorus to the Aegean Sea and the Mediterranean Sea and all around the world. That very narrow stretch of water in Istanbul, only 800 meters across at the narrowest point, that waterway, the Turks say you can't come here without insurance. And of course, almost nobody's going to insure these vessels. If they are going to insure them, obviously the insurance premiums are going to be sky high, because the insurance companies know they can get away with it because there are very few other companies that will offer insurance to them, because obviously it's a very dangerous activity, transporting oil by oil tanker, which is why you've got to have insurance. You see everything that can go wrong, like the Exxon Valdez or exploding or something. So it depends who blinks first, who can't take the economic pain. And Putin thinks his people experienced far, far worse in the 90s. They can cope with what they're suffering now. Right, thank you. Goodbye.